This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, who on Wednesday was sworn in for a second six-year term, of course, from the state of Louisiana in the U.S. Senate. We want to get a sense from him what we can expect from the Senate in the next 2 years, given that that is still under Democratic control, but with a much slimmer majority. And, Senator, it's great to have you with us. Congratulations on starting your second term.
Thanks very much, Greg.
In terms of what we can expect the Senate and the House to get along on here, we know that there's an ambitious agenda by House Republicans when it comes to cutting spending, perhaps repealing Obamacare here in the next few days, and some other priorities that were certainly major topics on the campaign trail. How much, if any, of that do you expect to come to the Senate floor?
Well, I think all of it will come to the Senate floor in one form or fashion, and certainly conservatives like me are going to be pushing hard to pass those same House measures in the Senate. I think on spending and debt, which is a huge issue, we're going to have a lot of leverage coming up because the Obama administration needs to pass an increase of the debt limit. And that is not going to pass a Republican House without major, major reforms and concessions on spending and debt. So we're working very hard to make major changes there.
And get a little more specific, if you can, what will need to be attached to any raising of the debt ceiling as you see it?
Well, I don't know. That's up to each individual member to decide. But I think it's crystal clear that conservatives, House and Senate, are not going to vote for an increase in the debt limit without big change, without major spending cuts, without major budget reform. I would like to see a balanced budget constitutional amendment that I'm a co-author of, things like that.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And, Senator, just prior to the new Congress beginning, you released a press statement basically being frustrated once again with the administration's complete lack of attention to energy exploration in the Gulf of Mexico, other than to impose a seven-year ban on that.
Right.
Do you sense that Congress in its current construct is going to be able to do much about changing that policy?
Well, the Congress is much better. It's a more conservative Congress coming in. That's the good news. The bad news is a lot of this is waged at the bureaucratic level. A lot of this is about getting permits in a timely way. And that isn't a problem that can be solved legislatively very easily. So it's still a real frustration. I think the American people are beginning to wake up, and that coincides, not surprisingly, with the price at the pump going up. And it is going up, and it's going to continue to go up. And when it reaches $4 plus per gallon at the pump, the American people are going to wake up again and say, wait a minute, why are we shutting off 95% of our domestic energy resources?
Well, you're right. It's certainly on the rise. Just this week, I paid, I think, about $3.13 a gallon. You believe that in the coming months it will actually once again exceed $4 per gallon for regular unleaded?
I think it probably will. I don't wish that on anyone, but I think we're headed for that sometime, and I think that is, as it usually does, going to wake up the American people.
One of the big debates on the Senate floor, or was expected to be a big debate, was whether or not the filibuster rules would change, since obviously Republicans have more than enough votes now, and even some to spare, to sustain a filibuster. What happened on that? What do you expect to happen if that's not been decided yet?
What I expect to happen is more nothing, no major changes, because I think responsible people in both parties understand that if you're in the majority today, it won't be long before you're in the minority. And so the filibuster rule really is enormously important protection for the minority. And it tends to temper things. It tends to pull people toward reasonable, positive compromise and consensus building, and that's a good thing.
You, of course, when you started your Senate career, were in the majority, and there was a discussion then of changing the rules when it comes to judicial appointments, and ultimately that didn't happen.
Right.
When you look at the balance between minority and majority, is there generally a sense in the majority side if you go too far, it's going to come back to bite you if you end up losing control?
I think anyone who has any sense of history, any sense of perspective, any personal experience knows that it's inevitable that's going to happen. Now, I still actually do favor changing the rule for judicial nominations as long as it's for nominations of any president and wouldn't be changed back. But I think legislation is a very, very different matter.
In terms of what you can expect on some of these key votes, we talked about this a moment ago. Just yesterday, one of the members of the House, Congressman Carter, said he actually thinks some of these things, probably not the whole truckload, but a lot of the ideas coming out of the House will probably be favorably received in the Senate just due to the fact that there is such a large percentage of those up for re-election in 2012 that are Democrats, and at least several of them in relatively vulnerable seats. Do you expect that to play a major role?
Well, I'm hopeful in the same way. I mean, I certainly disagree with these pundits that say all these things that the Republican House sends over are going to be dead on arrival. I don't think that's the case at all, particularly, as you say, with 23 Democrats up for re-election this cycle. There are going to be a lot of nervous, more moderate Democrats who are going to want to prove their independence from President Obama and the far left.
So obviously a lot of different bills will be coming in from the House, which will spark some serious debate. What about your personal goals of generating legislation in the Senate this year? What, above all else, do you want to get done?
Well, my first term was really dominated by circumstances, by disaster in Louisiana. First Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita, other major hurricanes, and more recently the BP oil spill disaster. I'm hopeful, I'm done with that for a career, and I'm hopeful we can focus on the pressing national issues. And unfortunately, I think we face disasters and crises of a different sort, potentially, with spending and debt, which is on a completely unsustainable path. So I'm going to be very focused on economic issues to try to get us off that unsustainable path onto a much more responsible path, more growth, more job creation, which we desperately need.
What's the key to job creation, whether it's your state or across the country? Is it mainly tax cuts? Some are talking now about confronting the bureaucrats and the regulations that are being put into place. What are the keys?
I think you mentioned two major keys, and in general, it amounts to the same thing, getting government out of the way of the private sector so that it is easier and cheaper to create jobs here in America. This administration, the previous liberal Congress, was making it much more difficult, much more expensive to create jobs here. We need to do the opposite. We need to make it much easier and much cheaper to create jobs here.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And Senator, last question before we let you go, and it kind of strings together a couple of things we've talked about, regulation and, of course, some of the big things that you want to get done in terms of energy production in the Gulf. In terms of regulations, we hear a lot about perhaps the administration going through the executive order process or through regulation, especially when it comes to the EPA. And with you sitting on the Environment and Public Works Committee, what kind of checks and balances do you hope Congress is going to be able to put on that?
Well, that's been a definite trend. As soon as the Obama administration started getting frustrated legislatively and started having things blocked legislatively, they tried to do exactly the same thing in many instances administratively through regulation. You saw that with cap and trade. You saw that with other environmental issues. And I think that's going to be a continuing trend, particularly with the Republican House. So I'm going to be very active on the Environment and Public Works Committee trying to combat that. Now, we're still in the minority there. I expect the Republican House is going to be even more active with that sort of oversight to try to battle back against that administrative overreach.
Well, a whole new complexion to Congress as these next 2 years unfold. We look forward to checking in as major developments warrant. Thank you, Senator, as always, for your time.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.